Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Friday night, January 20th, here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. It was the Friday night service for the Virginia District Teen Winter Retreat. And in Friday night service, Chris Cruz, who's a senior in high school and a part of the Fredericksburg Iglesia Church of the Nazarene, came and spoke. And he started out the series on Called Out, which was the theme of this year's winter retreat.
One of the things that we're going to do this weekend, most of you that have been to winter retreat before know that we don't just come to hang out and have fun. We don't even just come to worship. We come to support a cause, to make a difference in the world. And listen, at winter retreat, we've helped provide clean water. We've helped rescue people out of trafficking around the world. We've done tangible things, and this year is no different. But the cause this year, it's very personal to me, because at Winter Retreat a couple years ago, God placed a call on our life as a family to adopt, and he led us, as we prayed, to adopt from a country halfway around the world in Congo. I have a picture of it for you. This is a place that I wasn't familiar with at all, but God began to break my heart for the things that break his heart. In this country, there's 5 million orphans today, right now. And God began to break our hearts that we could make a difference in one life. And so we began that journey. And I would love to tell you that that journey happened exactly how I thought it would, but that's for another day and another time. Through this journey, though, we got to meet some pretty incredible people and some other families. Specifically, we began adopting a little girl that lived in the very smack dab middle of that country in the village of Loja. And so Lauren, my wife, actually got the opportunity to go and spend several days there, a week or more in that village. And in that process, we got to meet other families that were adopting there. In this picture, you'll see her. I think it's pretty obvious that she's not African. She's the one on the right. And then our friend Nicole is there on the left. And I would love to tell you that everything in my story and my calling worked how I thought it would. But the reality is it didn't. And while we thought that little girl that God had called us to adopt was going to be our daughter, God had very different plans. And through us going through this process, we discovered a lot of corruption that was happening and a lot of needs that were there. And so while God closed the door for her to become our daughter, God opened a door to begin working some incredible things there in that community. Listen, a community that didn't have clean water on a regular basis, a community that, I mean, there's no like sustainable like roads there. I mean, this is a place with a lot of needs, where poverty, with orphans and widows and real needs. And so through our effort of listening to God, God didn't do what we thought he was going to do, but he did something else, and it's something really cool. So through that, our friend Nicole that you see in this picture began starting an organization called Restore Elikia. In the tribal language there in Loja, they don't speak English, they don't speak French, but in their language, the word hope is Elikia. Say Elikia. That means hope. And so literally, this organization was founded to restore hope here in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of somewhere that you have never been or never even thought existed, but an incredible, beautiful place. And so tonight, I have the pleasure of introducing to you one of my really good friends. You saw her there on the screen. Her name is Nicole. She's a doctor and another mom that was journeying through adoption. And so I'm going to welcome her and welcome her to the stage tonight. So I would love to say that I could take any credit for this, but I can't. Restore Elikia was totally Nicole's heart, and that God birthed in her through something that was really devastating to us in our journey of not being able to adopt these kids. God birthed an incredible vision, and it's just incredible to see what God's doing. Now, I want to introduce Nicole, but I need to tell you a couple things about Nicole, okay? Her vocal cords don't work, okay? So she can communicate in two ways. She can use sign language, so some of you will be like geeked about that. You'll come by and do your sign language with her. She's awesome at that. She'd love that, see? But she has to rely on a little device to help her talk. It's called Lola. Say Lola. Lola. I told her, not Lo, what is, YOLO, not that. I'm so stupid, I can't even remember. So not YOLO, Lola. I told her maybe this weekend we could get Lola trending on Twitter or something. I think that's possible. But so she's going to help us. Lola's going to help her communicate with you guys a little bit. But yeah, you want to try it out? Let's try it.
Testing.
Did you guys hear that?
Can y'all hear it okay?
All right, good, good, good. So, anyway, Nicole, hey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good, good. You guys doing good still? Good. Well, we're pumped. One of the things, I'm going to have Nicole just share briefly about the heartbeat of what Elikia does, because it's not just one thing. It's not just about clean water. It's not just about caring for orphans. This is about really transforming the community. And so just share a little bit about what Restore Elikia is doing right now in the heart of the DRC in Africa.
Sure. Thanks. First of all, I just want to say thank you all so much for having me here. This event is something that I've heard about remotely for like 3 or 4 years now. And I've always really prayed a lot for you guys, for the leaders, for all the volunteers, and especially for the kids. As you guys all travel here and spend time developing relationships with each other, building community, and getting to know Jesus a little bit more. So thank you so much, and I'm really excited to be here in person this year to share this weekend with you guys and tell you about what we're up to in the Congo.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what are we up to in the
Congo? Yeah, what are you doing?
It's a little hard to put into just a few words, but our general mission is to provide orphan care and community development to this entire village in the middle of the Congo. And we've done that through a number of things, like clean water, working on agriculture projects so they have food to eat, working on education. I'm a pediatrician, so I'm also working on education of the medical personnel there to improve healthcare. And then we're now heading into also providing resources for women to get a better education and to support their families.
So that's something, and we're going to be talking about this some tomorrow, like literally in 2 years, right? I mean, is that about how long? In 2 years, I mean, where there wasn't clean water, now there's clean water. Where there wasn't any resources for orphans, now there's homes and places to care. Where there wasn't any hope for widows, for literally, and Nicole will share some stories tomorrow morning, women that have 3, 4, 5 kids, and they're a widow, they have no one else to help them. Now there's hope and resources for them. All of this has happened just in the last 2 years, and it's incredible. One of the things that we're going to do, and we're going to talk about this in the morning, at Winter Retreat 2017, we're going to help fund a new business for some of these women that have no way to provide an income for them or for their children. We're going to help fund this business, and we'll provide these women not just an opportunity, but to really rescue them out of the cycle of poverty. And we get to be a part of that. Are you excited to be a part of that? I think you are. So, Nicole, one of the things I'm excited about, we don't just come to Winter Retreat so that we can grow. We come to Winter Retreat so that we can help others. And so you're here to be a part of that, and we're excited. A couple ways that they can support you. First of all, like, if you want to hear an incredible story of just miracles in somebody's life, you got to talk to Nicole, because God has just totally rescued her. Like, she shouldn't even be on the stage right now, but she is. So I know she would love to tell you that. It's awesome. But you can stop by the table. Listen, there's t-shirts, there's bracelets, there's things that you can buy, and every dollar of that, every penny of that, goes to support Restore Elikia, goes to support providing sustainable income for these women that are trying to survive in this place. The coffee shop, how many of you already stopped by the coffee shop? I thought you'd have a little more passion after drinking the coffee, but we'll add a little more espresso. All right. Every penny, listen, we cover all the expense of that so that every penny that you spend there goes to this cause. And there'll be other opportunities throughout the weekend that you could give. Some of you may say, well, I don't want to buy something, but I'm going to put $5, $10, $20 in the jar. All of that is a way that you can help end a cycle of poverty in one person's life. Just think about that. You can make a difference in one person's life, and it's awesome. Hey, Nicole, thanks for being here. We're so glad. Give Nicole a hand. One more thing, and I'm going to get off the stage. I am so excited tonight to introduce you to our speaker. He's not coming up right now. He'll come up after we worship a little bit more. But his name is Chris Rosario. He's from Fredericksburg. Chris is a student like you guys. So tonight, yeah! We don't need adults. Go, students. So tonight, he's going to come, and he's going to share the word that God has put on his heart about being called out. And so I hope tonight, and I believe that you're going to be leaning in, you're going to be ready. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to prepare to worship. So to do that, you have to stand up. And to do that, instead of talking to each other, let's talk to God, all right? God, we thank you tonight. We love you. We worship you. We celebrate you in this place, God, right now. I pray for these students that are talking right now. I pray, God, that we would turn our attention and our eyes on you because you are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our praise. And God, you are calling us right now. We're not here by accident. We're not here because we just stumbled. Well, we didn't have anything else to do. No. You have called us here to this moment for such a time as this. And I want to be faithful tonight, God, to worship you because you are worthy of that. So may we remove the distractions. May we move aside everything, God, that would hinder us from seeing you tonight. And I pray as Chris comes and shares after we worship, God, that we would be changed because of you. We love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. All right, you guys can do better than that. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you guys?
Good.
That was sad. How are you guys?
Good.
Now in Spanish. ¿Cómo están?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Can you answer in Portuguese? ¿Todo bien?
No.
No? All right, guys, so I'm known for a lot of different things. You know, some people know me as Amish. Others people know me as the kid who won a lip sync battle without actually moving my lips.
Yeah!
And other kids know me just as plain old Chris. But my close friends and my family know me for one thing. And that is that wherever I go, I always have my book bag. Yeah, everywhere. And what's in the book bag is always different. So if I'm going to school, obviously it has my schoolwork, my homework, and probably the homework I didn't have the time to finish. But if I'm going to church, it has my Bible, my laptop, and other things I might need for that day at church. And if I'm going to a friend's house or my uncle's house or relative's house, it just usually almost has clothes or just my phone charger. But no matter where I'm going, this book bag is always with me. One day I didn't have my book bag, and mom's like, Chris, are you okay? So that's how much I always have this book bag with me. But in reality, if you really think about it, everyone always has a book bag with them. Believe it or not, you're wearing one right now. And no, you're not wearing a physical book bag. But we're all wearing spiritual book bags. And the things in the end, our spiritual book bag, differ. So when we start life, we open up our book bag. It's empty. And some of us at an early age start going to church. So we get introduced to God. We arrive at church, and without a doubt, we believe in him, and we're singing Jesus Loves Me, because that's our favorite song we learn in Bible church. So we put him in our book bag. We zip it up. And we move on. Then we learn something. We learn that when mom and dad don't want to buy us something, we can easily sneak into our pocket if it's small enough without them noticing. And so then we introduce lying. So we open up our book bag, and we tell God to move to the side a little bit, and we stick in lying in there. And then we zip it up, and we continue our walk. Then in school, we learned that, I don't really like that person. Or, wow, that guy likes the girl I like. And we start learning how to hate. And so then we open up our book bag. We take hate, and we stick it in there. We close it on up, and then we continue our walk. Then we make it to school. And then they do this very uncomfortable thing at 5th grade or 6th grade. They take us into rooms, they separate us, boys and girls, and they talk to us about puberty. Oh no, come on. Thus, once we get that, the doors open for a lot of things. Our eyes are open to sexual activities and porn. And so we think about it, and we're like, well, I don't really want to do that. The Word of God says it's bad. But, you know, one time doesn't hurt, right? And so we pick it up. We put it in our book bag. We move on. But we also pick up something else. And we also put it in our book bag. But at the same time with that, we pick up one more thing. Lust. And we also throw that in our book bag, make sure everything's perfect in there, and then we carry on. And then we continue, and we're in high school, and most of us, well, at this point, with our book bag, we arrive at high school, and we learn that some of our friends are doing some things they probably shouldn't be doing. They're drinking and smoking at these cool high school parties, right? And so we're like, oh, wait, everyone's doing it. Let me try that just once. And immediately we're found consumed into those things. So we open up our book bag again. We put in drinking. And we put in smoking. Stick it right in there. And then by this time, our book bag's pretty heavy, probably won't close. And still in high school, we start looking at something called our self-image. We stand in front of the mirror, and we start thinking about how other people perceive us, how other people think about us. You know, why don't I have curves like her, or why am I not as lean as him? Why am I like this? We develop something called self-hatred. We pick that up, and we stick it right into our book bag. But with self-hatred, that doesn't come alone. We pick up its friends, too. We pick up, let me make some room in my book bag. We pick up something called, we think we're worthless. So we stick it in there. With worthless comes depression, which is something we just stick on in there too. And then we come to self-harm. And we try to fit into our book bag too. And then with self-harm, there comes one more thing. Can anyone guess it? We become suicidal. And we stick it into our book bag. And by this time, our book bag's quite full. See, it doesn't even want to go in. Our book bag's quite full. And this weight is just pulling us down, and we're like, well, the one thing I don't really need in here is God. So I'm just going to take him out. I go to church, but it doesn't really matter. We don't really care. We're stuck with our addictions, and we don't really want to leave. So we try to zip up our book bag. We put it on, and we move on with life. We think we're grown up. We don't really need God anymore. You know, who goes to church? Only old people go, right? Gotta go out to the world, live my life. I only live once, you know, hashtag YOLO. And this is just to put in perspective. Some of you may find your book bag full like this, or your blogs may have different names on them, different things, different life events that have happened. And this weight just pulls you down. And that's exactly what the devil intends us to do. He wants to pull you down. But God has something different in mind. So I'm going to ask you guys if you brought your Bible. I'm hoping you brought your Bible. We're at Winter Retreat. Right? You brought our Bibles? Yeah. Okay. Don't worry. We kept you guys in our mind because we know teenagers. I know teenagers. I'm one. And you can read the scriptures along with me on the screens. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to John chapter 8. And we're going to be reading from verses 31 to verse 36. So we're going to do something different. I want everyone to stand up. Oh, yes, we got to move. Oh, my goodness. Come on, stand up. And I want you guys to read these Bible verses with me. You guys ready? All right, let's read it together. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." but we are descendants of Abraham, they said. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is the permanent family forever. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to just gather in this place. We know many of us traveled from far distances, and we just thank you for keeping us safe. And we just come before you this evening, and we just ask you to open up our hearts to the word you have for us today. Let us be transformed. Let us come out different from this location. We don't want to be the same because we've come here, and we know that we're called out, and we want to be called out. Thank you, God, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, so there are two major points in this passage that I want to bring your attention to. The first point is that sin enslaves you. So this Bible verse, this passage clearly tells us that when we're in sin, we're slaves to sin. In verse 35, it said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So I want to show you guys this point, something you really don't want to miss. That if God doesn't approve, it is sin. Sin is always sin. Society changes. God does not. So this is something we always got to keep in mind. If God does not approve, it is sin. The second passage point is the Son saves you. Verse 35 says, a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. This is a point I don't want you to miss. God wants you to be part of his family. But, you know, as I said, verse 36, the Son sets you free. But how do we get from point one to point two? How do we become free? To answer that question, I think we have to understand three very important things. The first thing is recognize. You have to recognize that we are sinners. Thus, we are enslaved to sin. We have to recognize that Jesus made a way for us to be free. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us from our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We just read it in that passage a couple minutes ago. The Son will, can set you free. Less than a month ago, what did we celebrate? Christmas. We celebrated the birth of Christ. We celebrated that Christ came and was born on this earth to save us, to die on the cross, come back to life 3 days later, because death could not hold him. And he made a way for us to be with God. And John 14:6 tells us this. It says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So our first point, the first way to become free, we need to recognize. Our second point is, you have to listen. You are called to be free. The first part of Galatians 5:13 tells us, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. It can't be more simple than that. But what exactly does this mean? We all live in the great United States, right? Aren't we always free? I'm sure we've all seen these memes, right? Right? So one says, hey, are you free this weekend? And then it says, the other person gazes into the distance, wipes tears from eyes, and there is a bald eagle flying behind them, and the person answers, I am always free. The second one says, on a scale of one to America, how free are you tonight? We've all seen these memes, and yes, we are free in this land, thanks to the great men and women that serve in our armed forces. But, yeah, clap. Go ahead. But this Bible verse isn't talking about this type of freedom. It's talking about freedom in God. Freedom from the things that weigh you down like that book bag. Freedom from sin, freedom from Satan, and freedom from the enslavement of sin. True freedom, not political freedom, is what Jesus Christ offers us. Have you ever been in a situation where you're sitting in class trying to pay attention to the words coming out of the teacher's mouth? It's 7:30, 8 a.m. in the morning, you're still half asleep, and then the teacher begins to ask questions. and starts randomly picking out on students and saying, answer this, and then you're sitting like, oh my goodness, oops, sorry. that probably woke up the ones who were falling asleep. Well, earlier this month, my AP government teacher asked the students to explain the amendment process of the Constitution. Now, there's the amendment process of the Constitution. There are a lot of minor details to it. And most of the kids at 7:45 a.m. were probably not thinking about amending the Constitution, so they were like, oh no. And my AP government teacher, he just continued asking students until he got his answer. We spent 45 minutes in class doing this. And I was sitting there, oh my goodness, please don't call on me, because I have no idea how this thing works. I was avoiding eye contact. I was pretending I was writing. You know all those things we do to avoid eye contact with our teachers? Why? Because for me, it may be uncomfortable to explain something that I did not know. And he was expecting a full answer, and I did not have that full answer. Well, Jesus is doing the same exact thing to you today. He's poking at you. He's tapping on you. He's calling you out. However, he isn't asking you to explain how the amending Constitution of the United States work. Or he's not asking you to find Wise X because we know she's long gone. Yes, all right. And he's not asking us to explain a sonnet from the 1600s, because we don't use those words anymore. He's calling us to step out of our comfort zone and be free in him. And Jesus says this in Revelation 3:20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Here's the point I don't want you to miss. God is calling you out. He is calling you home. It's time to leave what's weighing us down. It's time to leave that addiction, that lust, that self-hatred. It's time to leave depression. God is calling us out of slavery. Everything is so much better once you're free. Jesus can help, and I'm sure you've heard this from many adults at your church or elsewhere. But take it from me. A 17-year-old boy who probably has or has been or currently is in a situation similar to you with the same exact struggles. When I was 9 years old, I was given the news that my mom was pregnant. So as a 9-year old, I was pretty excited because I wanted a younger brother. Well, to cut the story short, this has happened. If you can't see it, well, that is me holding a little girl. I cried for a week. We were at the hospital when the doctor told me, you're going to have a little sister. I cried. I started crying at that hospital, and I cried for that entire week afterwards. Because I did not want a little sister. I wanted a little brother. Then, a few years later in 2011, a big year for my family, we felt led by God to go plant a Hispanic church in Fredericksburg. So we did. We used to live in Dumfries or Dumfries. And we just packed everything up and we moved 30 minutes down 95 to Fredericksburg. I had no idea what Fredericksburg even was until I was told. But in the same year though, my mom also gave me the wonderful news that she was pregnant again. And I was like, oh my goodness, yes! It's time, my little brother. And then December came around that year. We already had names for the baby. If it was a girl, we were going to name her Genesis Pamela. And if it was a boy, we were going to name him Gabriel Isaac. And everything was well. My mom was about 5 months into her pregnancy. Then, on December 23rd of 2011, my sister, her former boyfriend, like not her husband, but her like a very old boyfriend, and some family friends, we were all sitting at the dining table celebrating the birthday of my sister. But as we were sitting there, my mom was rushed to the hospital. And to cut the story short, my little brother did not make it through. We didn't know the gender yet, but I was sure in my heart that it was a boy. And I remember walking into my mom's room the next morning, December 24th, Christmas Eve, and she was just sitting on the bed. My dad wasn't there. I have no idea where he was at. And she didn't have anything to tell me because I already knew what had happened. So I got into bed, hugged her, and we just cried the day away. I was so upset. I was heartbroken. I was so devastated. I didn't know what to do. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be mad at God, but I really wasn't because I knew everything has a reason. Just that at that moment, I didn't know what it was. And sadly, I fell into some kind of depression. And sadly, I didn't look for the solution to my depression in God. I was grown up in the church, but when I was 11 and those news hit me, I turned to the world. I started filling my book bag up with a lot of different things that the world was feeding right to me, and I was putting them right into my book bag. And I struggled in silence for a long time. In May 2016, last year, I attended a leadership conference, better known as the Quest, at ENC. Just let me share with you guys something that happened to me while I was there. I was stuffed into a van with a bunch of strangers. That was awkward, but now these strangers are like the closest friends I have, so it's pretty awesome what a trip to Massachusetts in a van with strangers can do. But the last night we were there, we were in a gym. We were at the gym at ENC. All the kids were inside playing. And I was talking to Maddie about some random thing, and something fell out of her, who knows Maddie? Yeah. I was talking to Maddie, and a piece of paper fell out of her Bible. And I picked it up, and I was like, here, you drop this. And she was like, you should read it. So I stepped out of the gym into the little lobby area, and I sat down by the doors, and I started reading it. There are a lot of prayers on that piece of paper. There's a bunch of different ones. And on that night, I had an encounter with God. I'm not a big fan of crying in front of people. So I was trying my best to stay away from the group. And someone else did happen to be in the lobby when I started crying as I was reading that prayer. And it was Susie. Susie happened to be in the lobby with Reba. And without sharing my story with her, I used vague language and I expressed my struggles, and there I was crying, touched by God through a piece of paper that thought of a Bible. And with a woman with her baby that I had only known for about like 3 days. And that's when I recognized it was actually time to be free. So I started a process of healing and restoration towards the path of freedom. Later in 2016, I attended a youth camp with my church's youth group in New York. And half that week was extremely stressful for me because people just, it was a hard week. But on the Wednesday night of that week, there was a bonfire service. And this service challenged us to be completely surrendered to God. And we were all given a stick. We were asked to go down to the fire and throw the stick into the fire. So I hesitated at first. But I knew God wanted me to be free. So I got up, I went down, I grabbed a stick, and threw it into the fire. Later that night in our cabin, we talked about this. It was like 14, 15 guys in our cabin. And never in my entire life had I seen a group of teenage guys crying uncontrollably. They were bawling. And never in my life had I seen that with teenage guys in the middle of the woods at night. Because the devil was trying to hold us down. And we had believed the devil. But that night, most of us decided to choose freedom. And for me personally, it has not been easy. But I can tell you, it's been worth it. And I stand today before you acknowledging in Christ that I am free. I am free from sin, from Satan, from my past, and the things I used to do. I am free, and you can be too. Don't wait 5 years like I did. Because I can tell you, being free is so much better. I'm going to ask Brad to come up. Because holding this book bag, and when you have all these things in your life, you can't get God's freedom. All right, Brad, I want you to hold this, but without dropping those blocks. You can't get God's freedom. You gotta empty yourself and be part of what God has. Because once that happens, you can get God. But you have to do your part. The question we asked earlier was, how can we be set free? And we talked about two points. What was the first point? Recognize. And what was the second point?
Listen.
We are called to be free. And now I did say three things, so let's talk about the third thing real quick. The third thing is accept. You have to accept God's freedom, because once you accept his freedom, this will happen. You'll be able to hold him and just him. As you read in Revelations 3:20, Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." He's knocking on your door tonight. And it's up to you to accept, to open that door to the one who can take all those chains, all that weight, all that stuff the world feeds to us, and just throw it away. Now, some of you may think, "I'm comfortable, I don't really need Jesus, I don't really need this." You know, sin is comfortable. It is. Because the devil doesn't want you to turn away from it. But we've accepted the enslavement of sin. And with accepting sin also comes the price of sin. Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want you guys to watch this real quick.
I don't even know what I'm doing here. I mean, it's not like you even know who I am.
You prayed and believed your whole life. Never done anything wrong. And here you are. You're the nicest person I know. I am the meanest. You have dementia. My life is perfect. Explain that to me.
Sometimes the devil allows people to live a life free of trouble, because he doesn't want them turning to God. Your sin is like a jail cell, except it's all nice and comfy, and there doesn't seem to be any need to leave. The door is wide open. Till one day, time runs out. The cell door slammed shut. And suddenly, it's too late. Who did you say you were?
Please stand. Jesus is knocking on your door tonight. He is calling you to be freed from the enslavement of sin. And he's offered you a way to be free. He died for you. He died for me. So that we can live free today and forever. Today is your day of salvation. Don't take the risk that another day might come because you might not have that opportunity. Here's one major point I don't want you to miss. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done, where have you been, how far you might have strayed from God's path. He loves you. He might not like what you're doing, but you are his creation. And he loves you. Don't miss this too. Today is your day. In a few moments, the band's going to start playing. And you will have the opportunity to come forward. And if you haven't accepted Christ, this will be your chance. Today is your day to do so. And if you strayed away from the path, you would have the opportunity to come forward too and fix that. Today is your day to do so. Because, point number three, there is freedom in Christ. He's calling you out, every single one of us. It's time to accept our freedom in Christ.
We just want tonight to create a little space. This is a holy place. We want to create a place so we can listen to not just what the Chris had to say to us tonight, but what God is calling us to. Listen for that knock. To listen. At first it might be faint, but he's knocking. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He's calling out to you. He's calling you by name. He loves you deeply. Now, you've been called out by your peer tonight, another teen. He's been set free, and he wants you to join him. We are the called out ones. We are the ones who are called out of bondage, out of slavery, into freedom. To live life as it was intended. To live the resurrected life. Now, as Cameron said earlier, we lift our hands. We do these things in worship as expressions. We do them. Lifting your hands, we do that all the time. But we do things like coming forward to an altar, right? Now, the altar is just another piece of wood just like this, right? Just like the wood I'm walking on. There's nothing special about it. We didn't bring it in from Israel or anything like that. It's just wood. But there's something about coming and kneeling. And you know what? Because who do we kneel for? A king. The King of Kings. Now, presidents may come and presidents go. We learned that today, right? Kings may come and kings may go. But the King of Kings reigns forevermore. Woo! Now, he's calling out to you tonight. He's calling. And you know what? You don't have to come to the altar. It's just another piece of wood. But if you want to come, let's create space. Let's maybe take a couple steps back and let some room for those who want to come forward. You know what? The place that you're standing is just as holy as this altar. That square of carpet you're on is just as holy. But create space tonight to listen. Listen for the knock of God.
Listen for his call. Listen to his Holy Spirit and accept. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. You are a good dad and you give good gifts to your children. You give the best gift of all, your freedom. God, I was such a mess without you. God, I was such a slave to my addictions and to my habits, God, to myself, to my ego, God, but you have set me free and I am alive in you. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, Scripture declares. Lord, we claim that freedom. We don't want to be slaves anymore. God, help us hear the knock upon our hearts, God, so that we may be called the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We pray this in the name above all names, the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.